you were here last week, you remember I talked about two questions and the idea of where that came from, the two questions that was posed to me by one of Renee's co-workers who's taking a religion class. The two questions that she emailed me to ask for a response from, part of her assignment, just two very simple questions. One, who is Jesus? And two, what did he come for? And as I thought about that, I came up with the idea that we do need to define and really lay out there just who it is this Jesus is that we've all come here to church because of today. Who this Jesus is that is the reason why we celebrate at Christmas and give gifts to one another and share with those around us. And as I said last week, when we define who Jesus is, when we put a label, a name, a definition just on who Jesus is, it will give us the answer to why He came. Now last week, defined Jesus as prophet. One of the positions, one of the offices, one of the defining words of who Jesus is. And when we say prophet, that then tells us why He came. Because Jesus came, a prophet's job, the position of a prophet, was one which came bringing the Word of God, revealing the Word of God, revealing God's will to the people. Who more perfectly in history has ever been a prophet than Jesus, bringing God's Word, bringing God's will to perfect light in Himself? But identifying Jesus just as a prophet leaves us with an incomplete picture, an incomplete description of truly who Jesus is. This week I want to look at Jesus in another position, another office, in the position or the office of a priest, our high priest. What is all this priest stuff we're talking about? That sounds very Roman Catholic for those of us on this side of Easter, for the Christian people, and it sounds even more archaic and more outdated when we think about it in the sense of the priestly functions that were carried out during the Old Testament days among the Jewish people. Sounds very, very, very much like it's of no use or no benefit whatsoever for us here in the 21st century. What is all this priest stuff? Sounds like Old Testament law. Why do we need a high priest today? Well, let me tell you a couple things that I read that give us an answer why, or it gives me an answer why. In a George Barna survey in 2007, just a year ago, more than 2 out of every 5 adults, 41% of all adults surveyed, believe that when Jesus Christ lived on earth, He actually committed sins. Now, I don't know if that astounds you like it astounded me when I read it. This Jesus Christ that we worship, that is our Savior, that is the Son of God, that 2/5, 41% of every adult surveyed believes that Jesus was not perfect, that He sinned just like the rest of us. I read a story about a preacher that was telling this. He was preaching a sermon at a church that he wasn't the pastor of. He was, I don't know if it was an evangel, if he was an evangelism crusade or a revival or something. But he said at the close of the service, when it was over with, a stranger came up to him and said, "You know, I just don't like the way you spoke about the cross. I think that instead of emphasizing the death of Jesus, that it would be far better to preach about Jesus as the teacher and the example." And the preacher then replied to him, says, "If I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow Him?" And the guy said, "Yeah, certainly I would be, without any hesitation." "All right then," the preacher said, "let's take the first step. Jesus did no sin. Can you claim that for yourself?" The man said, "Well, no, I can't. Of course I've sinned like every other human being. I do sin." And the preacher replied, "Then your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example." We need to, folks, to understand that Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life. He didn't come just to be our example, although he was a great example and we should use him as an example, but it was not just to reveal the will of God that he came. He came to be our Savior. One of the greatest mistakes I believe that we make as parents today is that we try to be our children's friend. Our children have plenty of friends, folks. They don't need friends. What they need from us as parents is they need a parent. And we fail them when we're nothing more than their friend. And when that's our whole goal, is to try to be their friend. You see, when we try to fit Jesus into the category of an example alone, we rob ourselves of what we really need and the fundamental reason for Jesus' coming, which is to be our Savior. Jesus is the high priest. Let me read to you a little bit of Scripture. I'm probably not going to read all that you have back there, John. I'll just stop when I get tired of reading it. Comes from the 4th chapter of Hebrews. The whole book of Hebrews is filled with information talking about the priestly character, the priestly role that Jesus played. So read through the book of Hebrews if you want to get a better understanding about who Jesus is as high priest. The 4th chapter, 14th verse of Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I think that's all I'm going to read, John. Jesus is our great high priest. Now, to understand why Jesus came as high priest, it's good to understand the purpose of a high priest within the Jewish religion. Some of the functions of the high priest were the administration of the activities that went on in the worship setting in the sanctuary. They were over the treasury and the tithes and offerings brought in there. They were the consultant of God. The high priest was responsible for consulting God on issues. They would use the Urim and the Thummim. Those words sound familiar to you? I'm probably pronouncing them incorrect, but you probably don't know the correct pronunciation either, so we're all okay. But they were two items that were on the breastplate that the high priest wore. The one that got the breastplate that God described to Moses and told him and instructed him how to make. And for a lack of any better way to describe them, they were basically dice. They were what were used to cast lots. When there was a question that arose that the high priest would want to take to God, he would ask this question, he would cast these dice, so to speak, and if they both came up yes, then it was known, and there's a lot more to it than that. But those were the items that were used to consult God in a direct way. You know, we hear about in the New Testament that Jesus' garments, that they were divided up, or that whoever they cast lots to see who would get the robe. It was much the same way. It was a way of seeing, of consulting God, and that God would cause the right thing to come up, and they would be able to discern His will from that. The high priest also presided over the Sanhedrin as it addressed issues pertaining to religion. Now, Sanhedrin is a familiar word you probably remember hearing too, because it was the Sanhedrin who sentenced Jesus to death. It was the Sanhedrin convened in an inappropriate way against the strict code of the law. Not everyone was included. It was done at night, which was against the rules, but it was done nevertheless, and it was this Sanhedrin who was overseen by the high priest that sentenced Jesus to die. But the most crucial function of the high priest came on that one day of year called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. On that day, the priest, who in other times when he was when he was performing his priestly duties. He wore all the gold and jeweled ornaments that had been prescribed by God to Moses as he revealed that to him. All the ephod and the breastplate and all of those things with the gold thread and the rubies and jewels. On the other times he wore that, but on the Day of Atonement he was to perform specific ritual washings and cleansings. And he was to put on simple linen garments and enter into the Holy of Holies, and taking blood from the sacrificial lamb, the perfect spotless lamb that was slain, and sprinkled blood on the altar, the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies, and make atonement for the sins of all Israel. That was the primary, the most crucial thing that had to be done by the high priest each year. Folks, Jesus Christ is our high priest. He came to atone for my sins and for your sins. You see, if Jesus had just been another high priest in that long line of men from Aaron on through that day, we would still need that function being performed right now. We would still need a man standing in a place and offering up himself as worthy, offering up the blood of animals for our forgiveness. But Jesus, who knew no sin, was able to offer the perfect sacrifice once and for all. A perfect sacrifice of His sinless blood so that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus came. What did He come for? Jesus came to reconcile the world to God so that men and women could be restored to that place of communion, that place of fellowship with the Father. You see, human beings messed that up in the garden when they chose to do other than God had requested, when they partook of that thing that God said no to. The communion, the fellowship, was separated at that time. There was a division. Christ came to restore that. That is what Jesus came for. He didn't come simply to bring us the truth or to be our example. Randy and I were talking this morning about some guy he had run into and was talking about that he was a Catholic and a Buddhist. Said it had to be, Buddhism had to be a good thing because they talked nonviolence and peace. Well, that is a good thing and that is a good truth. But Jesus came not just bringing the truth, not just being our example, but dying because we're unable to live up to that truth and to that example. He came to do what couldn't be done by any other person. Jesus came to pay the penalty that you and I deserve so that we can have everlasting life. Today, a perfect Sunday to be talking about Jesus Christ the priest. Because today we have another opportunity to experience Christ as that high priest, as that mediator between God and us, as we remember Him and His perfect sacrifice, and as we experience communion here together as God's people and with God in our heart. I invite you all that we come to communion today. Our communion table is open to any person except that person who's perfect. You don't need it. But if you're not perfect, then communion is for you. It's for me. I invite you to join with me in the communion liturgy. It'll be on the screen. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God. Obedient Church, we have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let us pray as Christ taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.